This is VOA News, reporting by remote. I'm Joe Ramsey. U.S. President Joe Biden and his wife Jill had tea with Queen Elizabeth at Windsor Castle on Sunday at the end of the G7 summit, and as he wraps up the British leg of his first international trip since taking office. The 95-year-old British monarch greeted the Bidens at the home to the royal family for nearly 1,000 years. Joe Biden and his wife became the fourth president and first lady the Queen has received at Windsor, and during her record-holding 69 years on the British throne, she has now met 13 U.S. presidents. Biden next heads off to a NATO summit in Brussels on Monday, a U.S.-EU summit on Tuesday, and a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva the following day. Biden said on Sunday that autocrat Vladimir Putin was right to say that relations were at their lowest point in years, though he suggested that Russia might be weaker than it seems. Biden used the G7 summit in a British seaside resort to argue the world's richest democracy now face an existential contest with quote-unquote autocrats that would define the 21st century. But the U.S. president depicted Russia, whose economy is 13 times smaller than the United States, as weaker than it might be perceived. Biden earlier Sunday said the United States had restored its presence on the world stage. The president left his mark on the G7 by announcing a commitment to share 500 million coronavirus vaccine doses with the world and pressing allies to do the same. The leaders on Sunday confirmed their intent to donate more than 1 billion doses to low-income countries in the next year. Biden also fought for the leaders' joint statement to include specific language criticizing China's use of forced labor and other human rights abuses as he worked to cast the rivalry with Beijing as the defining competition for the 21st century. This is VOA News. Israel is set to swear in a new government that will send Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu into the opposition after a record 12 years in office. Sunday's transition comes after a prolonged crisis that sparked four elections in 2 years. Naftali Bennett, the head of a small ultra-nationalist party, will take over as prime minister. But if he wants to keep the job, he will have to maintain a coalition of eight parties from the political right, left, and center. They include a small Arab faction that is making history by sitting in the ruling coalition. If just one faction bolts, the government would be at risk of collapse. Pope Francis on Sunday warned the Mediterranean has become the, quote, biggest cemetery in Europe, as he remembered the migrants who died trying to reach the continent. He noted a ceremony taking place in Sicily to mark the April 2015 tragedy when an estimated 800 migrants heading from Libya to Italy drowned when their boat capsized. Thousands of people hoping for a new life in Europe set off from North Africa each year, often in overcrowded, leaky boats run by smugglers. More than a dozen boats arrived off of an Italian island on Saturday, according to the ANZA news agency, with more than 1,200 migrants held in emergency facilities there. The Central Mediterranean is one of the world's deadliest migration routes. It's patrolled by a handful of charity rescue ships who complain that EU authorities are not doing enough to help their cause. Lebanon's currency crashed past a milestone on Sunday, reaching a new low against the dollar as the country's financial meltdown and political deadlock lingers. Market dealers said the Lebanese pound was trading at 10% of what it was worth in late 2019 when Lebanon's economic and financial crisis erupted. Lebanon is in the throes of a deep economic meltdown that is threatening its stability. The World Bank has called it one of the deepest depressions of modern history. The last time the pound hit a low in March, protesters took to the streets across Lebanon for over a week, blocking roads by burning tires. And Switzerland on Sunday rejected proposals that would have made it the first European country to ban synthetic pesticides following a divisive campaign. Voters heeded the government's advice and rejected two publicly proposed initiatives that would have changed the landscape for Swiss farming. Meanwhile, controversial sweeping new police powers to combat terrorism seem set to pass, despite warnings from the United Nations and Amnesty International, with around 57% of the vote so far approving the new laws. Find more on these stories and the rest of the day's news at voanews.com or follow us on the VOA mobile app. Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.